You're listening to Grace Ambassadors Radio, where God is true, man is sinful, and the church, well, it needs fixed.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us this week as Pastor Justin Johnson of Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship answers your questions from the Bible. Please visit our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. But in the meantime, stay with us to hear Pastor Justin Johnson answer today's questions from the perspective of the Bible, rightly divided.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Today on Grace Ambassadors Radio, we are answering your questions received through our website, graceambassadorsradio.com, or through the mail at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986. Let's get right to it. So this week we have an email from a questioner that's got several different issues in it, so we're going to take some time to work through each one of these. We'll just get right into it here. It says, Pastor Johnson, I've just recently been introduced to the differences between the Gospels and Paul's message of grace. So right there, there's the first issue. There's differences between the Gospel and Paul's message of grace?
Yeah, and maybe we need to clarify the question a bit, just because we're not talking about there being different Gospels today. But what people typically call the Gospel books in your Bible, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, these are the accounts of Jesus' earthly ministry. What mid-acts dispensationalism does teach is that those gospel narratives took place under the Old Testament. And hopefully someone asked me that question so I can talk more about that. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John operate in a time under God's law. Galatians 4:4 says that Jesus was made under the law. And of course, Jesus came and he ministered to Israel, Romans 15, verse 8, and Matthew 15, verse 24. And when he ministered to Israel, then he died, and then he rose from the dead. And then later he returns and he gives information to the Apostle Paul. And this information he reveals to the Apostle Paul apparently was something that was not ever prophesied about in the scriptures since the world began. And so all the books, Genesis, all the way through Acts chapter 9, apparently, had not spoken about this mystery of Christ. And so apparently this apostle of grace, this apostle of the Gentiles, which is what he calls himself in Romans 11, 13, is given a message to go to all men with the gospel of the grace of God. And so today there's only one gospel, and the gospel, which means good news, is the gospel that we are saved by God's grace. Grace is what God does on our behalf. And what God did on our behalf is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead for our justification, Romans 4, verse 25. And so we trust Christ's finished work and we're saved. That's the gospel that saves us today. Now, the reason why we have to separate or rightly divide the message we teach today in the church, according to the revelation of the mystery of Christ, from the gospel books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is that nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John understood that gospel that I just explained. They didn't understand the preaching of the cross. And case in point with that is if you turn to Luke chapter 18, verse 34 and 35. And the Gospel of Luke, this is just one of many instances, but this very clearly points it out. Because in Luke 18, we have halfway through Jesus' ministry here. He's already chosen the 12 disciples. He's going to make them apostles of Israel's kingdom. He's already been ministering to Israel over half of his ministry. And they're out preaching the gospel. Luke chapter 9 says he sends them to preach the kingdom and preach the gospel. Mark 1:14 says they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. John the Baptist did it. Jesus did it. The 12 disciples did it. They're all preaching this gospel. Mark 1 even says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so they're out there preaching a gospel, and they're preaching to Israel this gospel. And yet in Luke 18, verse 33 and 34, Jesus responds to his 12 disciples on his way to Jerusalem and says that he's going to be delivered unto the Gentiles. He shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. Now, if you're a Christian today and you read Luke 18, 33, you're saying, hey, amen, glory to God, that's his death and resurrection. That's the gospel you just told me that saves me because he died for my sins and he rose to give me eternal life. And so Jesus explains to his disciples that I'm going to be put to death by these Romans. They're going to kill me. And verse 34 says, and they understood none of these things. Let me read that again, because he's talking to the disciples. He tells them of his death, tells them of his resurrection on the third day, Luke 18:34 says, they, the 12 disciples, understood none of these things. This saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. And so Luke 18:34 very clearly tells us that during Jesus' earthly ministry, before his death, when he told the disciples about his death, which wasn't something he was preaching to everybody. He wasn't going around preaching to people, I'm going to die for your sins. He was going around preaching to people, I am the Christ, the promised Messiah, and the kingdom is coming. He preached to that. But regarding the cross of Christ and his death and resurrection for salvation, the disciples knew nothing. They didn't understand it. And so Mark chapter 9 has a similar account where Jesus is talking about his death, and the disciples kind of treat this as a suicide case, you know, that they're kind of worried that their leader, this Messiah, this Christ, he's talking about him dying, and they're so afraid to ask him about it. Mark 9 says they're afraid to ask. And in Matthew 16, the first time Jesus tells his disciples about his death, and it's in private. He never preached this publicly, but he told his disciples in private that he was going to die. And Peter responds to him trying to prevent it. You know, Peter, the apostle who walked on the water, he says, not so, Lord. And that's where Jesus, of course, calls Peter the devil and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter didn't know what he was saying. Peter didn't know the importance of the preaching of the cross. And that's because that message, the gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of the cross that saves all men that believe today, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, was not known until Jesus Christ came back and revealed it to the apostle Paul. You say, why Paul? Why would he reveal it to Paul? Well, the reason for that, of course, is because not only was it part of God's purpose and all that, he chose Paul, but Paul is a perfect example and a recipient of God's grace, because Paul, unlike the 12 disciples, did not acknowledge Jesus as the Christ. Paul did not follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. In fact, Paul was there, his name was Saul at the time, he was there consenting unto the death of Stephen, who was one of Jesus' disciples. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, Saul goes around persecuting that church there in Jerusalem and starts wreaking havoc amongst them. Saul was doing nothing to deserve the promises and the privileges that Jesus was offering and preaching in that kingdom to the 12 disciples. And so in the midst of that, Jesus himself returns from heaven and appears to Paul, to Saul at the time, his name was changed later, and appears to him on the road to Damascus, and that bright light blinded him, of course, and that's where Saul gets saved. That's where Paul gets saved, and that's told three times in the book of Acts, that account of his conversion. And so Paul is an example, is a pattern of someone being saved by God's grace, whereas the 12 disciples are a pattern of people following Jesus and their belief and obedience to their Lord. Paul is an example of salvation by grace, and it's because of that the Lord Jesus gave him this gospel, the grace of God, so that he preaches to us today this message for the church of salvation by grace through faith. So if you're looking for salvation in the gospel by grace through faith, you're only going to find that in Paul's gospel.
So the questioner goes on with the email here. It says, it's a very strange concept for me to grasp that Jesus' sermons and parables do not apply to me today. That's not really a question, but he's pointing out that fact.
A strange concept to grasp that Jesus' sermon and parables do not apply to us. And I know that may sound strange, and yet we don't think it's strange at all when we talk about we don't have to offer lambs and goats and calves to a temple in Kokomo. You know, so go downtown Kokomo, find your temple, and go offer a lamb there. Christians typically don't think that's strange. So they understand the idea generally that in the Bible, there's changes and instructions and changes in what God is doing. Just because God's no longer taking sacrifices of animals today in a temple doesn't mean we take that part of the Bible, rip it out, and burn it in the fireplace. It's still in the scripture, and there's things for our learning from it. Romans 15, verse 4 says all things are for our learning, and 2 Timothy 3:16 says all scripture is profitable. So we can learn doctrine and instruction, and of course we go back there and learn about the importance of blood sacrifice and what those typified and things like that. But we also know that those are not written for instructions to us. They're written to Israel. And this is the same idea that we have to bring to the table when we're reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just because Jesus is now there and we are Christians and there's Christ doesn't mean everything that Jesus Christ ever said was to you. In fact, we have a booklet at our church called Jesus Wasn't Talking to You. If you want a free copy of the book, Jesus Wasn't Talking to You, email us through the website, graceambassadorsradio.com, and we'll send one to you for free. But Jesus Wasn't Talking to You is the title of that book, and it's right on. It's intended to provoke. Because most Christians think anything Jesus said, it's printed in red letters in your Bible, that's to us. And it's not. There were things Jesus said where he wasn't talking to you. He was talking to someone else. In fact, Romans 15 verse 8, Paul says, Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Let that sink in a bit, that Jesus Christ was, past tense, in his earthly ministry, was a minister of the circumcision. Now, in the Bible, that word circumcision refers to Israel exclusively, because they were given the covenant of circumcision. They were God's circumcised people. Paul is saying Jesus ministered to Israel, and Paul contrasts Jesus' ministry to Israel with his own ministry given to him by Jesus. It's not that we don't preach Jesus, not that we don't obey Jesus or follow Jesus. It's simply we obey Jesus' instructions according to what he would have us do today when Israel is fallen. Today, when salvation's gone to the world outside of Israel without covenants. So Romans 15 verse 16 is where Paul mentions his ministry received by Jesus Christ. And he calls that ministry a ministry of grace. In Romans 15 verse 16 here, I'm just opening my Bible. It says, the grace that is given to me of God that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. And so Romans 15, 16 is in contrast to Jesus Christ ministering to Israel. Paul says he's given to me grace to minister to Gentiles, Jesus Christ, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul was given a special message from Jesus Christ. If Jesus were talking to you today and you said, Jesus, you know, what should I do? He would tell you to follow the instructions he gave to Paul in the scripture. 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. And so we're still Christians. We follow Jesus Christ, but we follow him according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to his ministry to Israel. Matthew 15, 24 is another place you can think about in the scripture that clearly says Jesus was not sent to us. You know, Jesus told his 12 disciples in Matthew 10, do not go to Gentiles. Because some people say, well, I want to do everything Jesus says. Well, you can't, because he gives contradictory instructions. In Matthew 10, verse 5, Jesus says, do not go to the Gentiles. Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus calls out his disciples and sends them out. Part of the instructions he tells them is, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. If Matthew is the pattern for us today in the church, then we're not supposed to go to Gentiles, apparently, which is going to be hard, seeing as how the church mainly consists of Gentiles today. Of course, if you are a Bible student at all, you understand in Matthew 28 and other verses, this instruction has changed. Paul, of course, was an apostle sent to Gentiles, and so Jesus changed what his instructions were. He sent the 12 apostles not to go to the Gentiles, but he sent the apostle Paul to go to Gentiles. So you see the pattern there that changes. So you say, well, it's hard for me to grasp. It's a strange concept that Jesus' sermon and parables don't apply to me. Well, it's no harder than thinking that there is no fruit tree that God's forbidden you to eat, and there's no ark that you have to build for a flood, and there's no animal sacrifices you've got to give. In the same way, when Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verse 4 says, go offer the sacrifice that Moses told you to offer, why don't you do that? This is Jesus' words. Matthew 23, verse 1 and 2, Jesus tells his disciples to do that which those sitting in Moses' seat tell you to do. Those are Jesus' instructions. And so those need to be rightly divided. And it's only when you rightly divide them from his instructions to us that the Bible makes sense. Otherwise, you have to rip those verses out.
The questioner has a few specific examples that he wants to have addressed, such as Jesus' teaching from Matthew 18 about the man who owed much, or about his teaching in Matthew 6 about forgive and you will be forgiven. Don't those apply to us today?
Yeah, great question. And what I really like about this email is it really shows why we're doing what we're doing on the radio program. We answer Bible questions, and we do this not only on the radio program here every Sunday at 9, but we do it also in our church. So at 10 o'clock every Sunday morning, we start a question and answer hour at our church, Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship, where we do the same thing we do here. And I open it up for questions, and I say, does anyone have any Bible questions? And people come and they ask their Bible questions, and we talk about those. And I give an answer from the Bible, rightly divided, from the perspective of Mid-Acts Pauline dispensational right division. I really like this emailer, and why we're spending time on it is because he has some really good questions about the basic teaching of grace. And so the question you just asked was about Matthew 6 and Matthew 18, forgiveness. This is a common question. When people learn to rightly divide the ministry and prophecy given to Israel from Jesus' ministry to the churches and Gentiles today, the question is, well, what about Matthew 6? I mean, in Matthew 6, this is the so-called Lord's Prayer. You know, Lord's Prayer, this is fundamental. This is Sunday school business. This is, that doesn't apply to me. And in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, this, and I say it's so-called because Jesus wasn't actually praying that prayer. He was just teaching his disciples to pray. But we'll stick with the Lord's Prayer title for now. Matthew chapter 6, we all know the prayer, so I won't spend time reading it. But in the prayer, part of it that deals with forgiveness, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, he says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." And that's an interesting prayer. Because if I were to pray to God, "God, forgive me as I forgive people around me, as forgive people that have done me wrong," this would be a righteous thing. Forgiveness is a righteous thing to do. And Christianity teaches forgiveness. Jesus exemplifies forgiveness. And God offers us forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But this verse is teaching, quite literally, to pray, if I forgive others, then God will forgive me. If I don't forgive others, God won't forgive me. You say, "Oh, no, he's not saying that. He just means to forgive people." Well, read a few verses later, Matthew chapter 6, in verse 14. After Jesus finishes his instruction on prayer, he says amen in verse 13. And then immediately after, he must have anticipated the question, because immediately after he explains what he meant by forgiveness. He says, "If you forgive men their trespasses." Now I'm reading from Matthew 6, verse 14. "If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." So these are red letters. These are Jesus's words. You can't get more clear than that your forgiveness, your personal forgiveness, is conditioned upon your works, your forgiving other people. And this, unfortunately, is why so many Christians seem so forgiving, or at least are quick to say they forgive, because they know this in Matthew 6, that if I don't forgive, God won't forgive me. Is it a right thing to forgive? Yes. And so the spiritual lesson we can learn from Matthew 6 is that we should forgive, but we should not take this as doctrine for us today, for instruction about our salvation, because Matthew 6 ignores the gospel of the grace of God. You say, "Well, how can I do that? It's Jesus talking." Well, yes, but Jesus has not revealed all that he has to reveal. And remember, we talked earlier in this episode about how Jesus revealed to Paul later, and how the disciples, the 12 disciples here, were ignorant of the preaching of the cross. And so it wasn't until after Jesus died and after Jesus revealed to the apostle Paul the preaching of the cross that Paul starts to preach forgiveness through the blood of Jesus. In Ephesians 1 verse 7 says, "We have redemption, we have forgiveness through the blood of Jesus," through his blood. And in Colossians 2:13, he says, "He's forgiven us all trespasses." And that's, of course, through his death and resurrection. And one of my favorite passages in Paul's epistles regarding forgiveness is Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, where Paul is simply giving some instructions about personal behavior. And this is typically what people try to pull from the scripture, is instruction on personal behavior. And Ephesians 4:32, Paul says, "Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." So there's your instruction, forgive each other. But he also goes on to explain why you should forgive other people. And he says, "Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Now this is significant because whereas Matthew 6, Jesus preaching to Israel under this covenant he had with them, under this law covenant, he says, "If you forgive others, then God will forgive you. And if you don't, God won't." That is exactly the formula of the Old Testament. If you obey, then I'll bless you. If you don't, I'll curse you. This is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant operation. It wasn't until Christ revealed to the Apostle Paul the dispensation of God's grace that we can preach, and that Paul writes about God forgiving us by grace through faith. We believe Christ's death on the cross for our salvation, and we receive forgiveness of sins. And you say, "Well, does that mean I don't have to forgive anybody?" Well, you're saved by grace through faith. It's not by your works of righteousness that save you. It's not you forgiving someone else that saves you today. It's Jesus Christ that saves you when he died on the cross. That's salvation. The motivation for your forgiving other people is in Ephesians 4:32, where you forgive other people not only because God told you to, but it's for Christ's sake. It's for Christ's sake because he has already forgiven you. It says he hath forgiven you. And so if you're saved, just like the Ephesians were, they knew the gospel of grace, you've already been forgiven. You're not waiting for some conditional judgment to determine how many times you forgave someone, and if you forgave all your enemies, then God forgives you. No, you're already forgiven because you've trusted the gospel of Christ, the preaching of the cross, Jesus' blood for your forgiveness. And since he's already forgiven you, the motivation here is out of a loving reciprocity. It's a loving response. Since I'm already forgiven of God, and I'm a sinner, and I couldn't save myself, and Christ saved me by his finished work, by his grace, then I should forgive others because I'm already forgiven. And so you see, that's a motivation of love, of grace. Whereas in Matthew 6, the motivation under their law program was you forgive so that you can be forgiven. And that's the same way you obey. I hope that makes it clear, because that issue of forgiveness is, again, central to salvation, and this is an important reason why we rightly divide the gospel of grace revealed to Paul from the ministry of Christ to Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Well, we're really starting to understand where this questioner is coming from now. His last statement here in his email says, "The whole grace message has really scared me off because I know so many people who live like the devil and say, hey, I'm not under the law or under condemnation. I'm under grace."
Yeah, and this is a common response. I think we articulated the grace message earlier and just what the gospel was and what grace means. Grace means that something is done for someone that they don't deserve or they can't do. And in our case, in the Bible, God's grace is God doing something for us that we can't do or that we don't deserve. And what we don't deserve is salvation. What we don't deserve is eternal life. We don't deserve it. None of us do. And so we're all sinners, and Christ has to accomplish that for us. And when he does, that's grace. And so the gospel of grace is that we can be saved by his work when we believe his work. We trust that. And people will get offended by that. And just like the emailer here, because they're suspicious. They're thinking, well, if that's true, and it's not by works of righteousness, which I have done, Titus 3 verse 5, and it's to him that worketh not, Romans 4 verse 5, then doesn't this just open the door for all sorts of licentiousness? And this is the Bible word for it, licentiousness, you know, all sorts of sin, allowing you to sin with impunity, you know, just letting people do whatever they want. And this is just nonsense for a few reasons, and we could spend a whole hour, maybe we'll spend the next episode talking about this, but the Bible doesn't teach that. This is not what grace teaches us. This may be the logical conclusion to someone in their flesh and someone listening to their sinful flesh, but that is not what grace teaches. In fact, grace kills sin. The reason why Christ had to die on the cross is because of our sin. And so his gracious work, dying on a cross, was because there was a necessary judgment against sin. And this tells us that God hates sin. Now, if you realize you're a sinner and you can't make yourself perfect and you need Christ's death on the cross for your forgiveness, your salvation, and yet you continue to sin, what does that say about your motivation that, you know, I want to accept this gift of salvation, but I don't care what God thinks? Well, you cared about what God thinks when he was going to judge you for your sin. So why would you not care what God thinks now that you received his free gift of salvation? And so, you see, this is really disingenuous. It's dishonest. And dishonesty is something that we should expunge from us as Christians in our thinking. But in Titus chapter 2, I say this is not what grace teaches. And I just don't say that to defend my ministry or to defend my message. This is what the Bible says about grace. Titus 2 verse 11. It says, "The grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." You see right there, it says in Titus 2, verse 11 through 13, that grace teaches us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts and to live soberly. To say that grace allows us to sin is against the scripture. It does not allow you to sin. Now, some key words in those verses there to recognize is that it says in Titus 2:12 that we should live godly and soberly. That should. You say, well, there it is. There's the out. And, you know, so it says should, so I don't have to. Well, this is true because this is grace. It would not be a gift if there's any sort of requirement on you. It's a should. And yet the should is something that you should do. You should do that. It's simply there's no requirement upon you to do it because Christ has accomplished what you need for salvation. And so the should is a direction. This is not giving you a permission to do wrong. It's giving you instruction to do right. Some people say, well, Titus 2, 11 through 13 teaches good works, but it says that grace teaches good works, so grace must be something like a law. Grace must be actions you perform. Well, no, grace is not actions you perform. Grace is what Christ has performed in you and what Christ has done to change you. Romans 4, verse 5 says, "To him that worketh not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly." And I love this passage because it speaks of me. And I really try to live a godly life, Titus 2, verse 11 and 13. But this verse here says that ungodly people can be saved. And you really have to admit that if you are saved. You have to admit that God saves ungodly people, or else you're calling yourself godly and deserving of salvation, deserving of righteousness, rather, deserving of eternal life. And none of us are. So all of us are ungodly, and it's only by saving ungodly people that any of us could be saved. So Romans 4 or 5 is really good news, that to him that works not but believes. Your belief is not a work, and that's what Romans 4 or 5 says. You're simply believing him that justifies the ungodly, His faith is counted for righteousness, and that's what you respond to God's gospel with. There's a big issue dealing with people who sin and do wrong in the name of grace, and that is a wrong thing to do. There's rebuke there that's necessary. There's reproof that's necessary. There's correction that's necessary. All scripture is profitable for that. But in no way does grace open up the door for us to sin, especially in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, people ask the same question as questioner asked and says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In Romans chapter 6, verse 15, asks that question again, because we are not under the law but under grace, shall we sin? And the question is answered both times by Paul with a definitive no. God forbid is what he says. And the reason why in Romans 6, why we do not continue in sin, even though we're not saved by our works, we're not under the law, is because we have been crucified with Christ. Our old man is dead, and we have been given a new position as servants of righteousness, as his ambassadors. When you quit your old job or get fired from your old job and you're given a new job, you don't continue living and working under the old job. You wouldn't go back to your old business and say, I'm here again, boss. And you say, you don't work here anymore. And that's the same idea in Romans chapter 6, where we are not under the law. We're not servants of sin. We're servants of righteousness. And so Romans 6 starts to explain, Romans 6, 7, and 8, this change of mind that Christ has performed for you by grace. You see, you didn't earn this position. Christ gave it to you by grace. But you have this new position. And so you have to think that through. And you got to think about who you are. And who you are, if you're saved by God's grace, is a member of the body of Christ. And so you should act accordingly. You should. This is the response. And again, there's many questions people may have about that. And I hope you email us and ask us about them. You can email us at graceambassadorsradio.com. We'll deal with your questions on the radio. If not, maybe we'll deal with them at our church meetings on Sundays and Tuesdays at Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship.
Find out more about Grace Ambassadors Bible Fellowship by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. While you're there, you can ask us your Bible questions and we'll try to get them answered on the air. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
The Bible says the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation. By the cross, God takes ungodly sinners and freely justifies them through faith. But how can a righteous God give salvation to ungodly men simply by faith? Shouldn't salvation be earned by good works? The problem is that we are all sinners and the wages of sin is death. So a million good works amount to nothing when one sin results in death. If God only can give salvation, and man cannot earn salvation and has nothing with which to pay, then the only way to get salvation is if God provides it freely. And this is exactly what God has done through the blood, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Christ did everything necessary to save your soul. Trust God's righteousness in Christ and not your own, and you will be saved.
Watching Stephen Curry will not make you a basketball player. Neither will sitting in church make you a Christian. So what makes a Christian? It starts with, we're all sinners. And if we could save ourselves, we don't need Christ. But the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins and rose from the dead and offers you eternal life freely. Trust that Christ did everything necessary to save you, then you will be a Christian.
Learn more about real Christianity and the clear gospel by visiting our website, graceambassadorsradio.com. That's graceambassadorsradio.com.
Curry steps back. It's good!
Now, if you've been listening and been asking yourself, what is this right division? Where do I start? How do I begin? I wrote a book just for you. I wrote a book last year about how to rightly divide called Start Rightly Dividing. And I want to give you that book for free if you come to my website and give me your mailing address. I want to know if you're listening. So if you're listening, send me your name and your mailing address at graceambassadorsradio.com and I'll send you a free copy of my book, Start Rightly Dividing. That's graceambassadorsradio.com. Want to learn more about Mid-Axe Pauline Bible-believing Christianity? You can listen to all of our programs archived online at graceambassadorsradio.com. But don't just listen. I want your feedback. Go to our website and ask your questions. Tell me what you liked about this program. Tell me if you're confused about the Bible. Tell me how good-looking I am. Or tell me off. Whatever your reaction, I want to hear from you. If you'd rather write me a letter, you can send your questions and comments to P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, the only Swayze in the world. Our website is graceambassadorsradio.com, and we go to the post office every week to hear from you at Grace Ambassadors Radio at P.O. Box 161, Swayze, Indiana, 46986.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Grace Ambassadors Radio. We're going to be at the Howard County Fair in Greentown, July 11th through the 16th. If you stop by our booth and tell us you heard us on the radio, we'll give you some free Bible study materials. And don't forget to send us your Bible questions by visiting our website at graceambassadorsradio.com.